Lord God, deep within our hearts you have written your law. High upon the cross, you have lifted up our salvation, the Savior made perfect in suffering. From the death of that single grain sown in the weary earth, bring forth in this Lenten springtime a rich harvest of life. As the hour of his passion draws near, glorify your name, and in our baptismal life, let it be glorified again. We ask this in the name of Jesus, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Receive the word of God and instruct those who are placed within your care. Children ages 3, 4, 5, and 6, please line up behind the children's liturgist.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. A covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A
lean not in me, O God. A pure heart create for me, O God. Put a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, nor deprive me of your Holy Spirit. Create a clean heart in me, O God. Give me again the joy of your help. With a spirit of favor sustain me, that I might teach transgressors your ways, and as sinners may return to me. Create a clean heart, a clean heart in me, O God.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to John. There were some Greeks who came up to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. They came to Philip, who comes from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they said to him, "We wish to see Jesus." Philip went to Andrew and told him of the request, and then both Philip and Andrew went to Jesus and told him. Jesus said, "Now has the hour of the Son of Man come to fulfillment. I assure you, unless the grain of wheat falls to earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it brings forth an abundant harvest. The person who holds tight to his life will lose it. The person who holds his life loosely will save it and bring it to eternal life. Anyone who wants to serve me must follow me. Where I am, my servant will be. And the Father will honor those who serve me." Then Jesus said, "I am deeply troubled. What should I say? Father, remove me from this hour? And yet it was precisely because of this hour that I came into the world. I say, Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven which said, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." Now the people who were standing around heard the voice, although some said it was a clap of thunder, and others that angels were speaking to him. Jesus said to them, "This voice came not for me, but for you. Truly I tell you, the hour of judgment of the world has come, and the ruler of the world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all things to myself. The Gospel of the Lord. The first reading from Scripture, God says to the people of Israel, I am establishing a new covenant with you. I am renewing a relationship with you. But this will be different from the old covenant. The old covenant was established in stone. It was written in stone. This covenant, this contract, will be written on your hearts. And every single person will know the presence of God. It will no longer be necessary for you to teach each other. For within you is already written the truth of God. Every human being will have written within his or her heart the truth of God. Within Catholic teaching, we refer to that reality as the natural law. That in human life, there is a sense of God, and there is a being drawn toward God that is just part of what it is to be a human being, just part of what it is to be a creature. And to explore that truth is to explore the manner in which God draws all people into union with Himself. Now that natural law that is written on the human heart is not self-evident. In other words, a person must seek, must go within, must search his or her heart. And so the psalm that we prayed between the first and the second reading begs God to create within us a clean heart. The Hebrew word that is rendered clean really means create for us an open heart, an uncluttered heart, a heart that is not overrun. A heart that has some space. The challenge is to allow that Word of God within us to be heard and to give us direction. And the way we do that, what is necessary is to create some opportunity, some space, unclutter that heart, so that the Word of God, the voice of God, the Spirit of God can emerge. And that's really what Jesus is talking about in the Gospel. Unless the grain of wheat fall to earth and die, it remains just a grain of wheat. But when it dies, it produces much fruit. So I say to you, the person who holds tightly onto his life is going to lose his life. The person who lets go will have life everlasting. The ancients would say, die before you die, so that you will not have to die when you die. Jesus says, let go now. and then you will not have to let go at the end. Let go now, and then the end is really a new beginning. Don't hold so tightly on those possessions. Well, you can't take them with you anyway. Everything will pass away, except the reality of God. There is nothing that I have that will save me, that will bring me life, other than the love and the mercy of God. Very often we think of material things when we think of possessions. And yet, I think that more often than not, what impedes us is not the material, but the immaterial. The arrogance that we hold on to, the prejudice that we hold on to, the hurt that we hold on to, the resentment that we hold on to, the fear that we grip and clutch close to ourselves, those immaterial possessions end up possessing us. And those immaterial possessions end up standing in the way of our accepting the truth of who God is in our lives. Those immaterial possessions, in a sense, become false gods to us. And they are demonstrated, or they are given visibility in a whole variety of ways. The almost riotous polarization that has taken place over immigration in our country has something to do with human prejudice. Although the words don't say that, but the actions do. The incredibly uncivil conversation that takes place over the Minnesota Marriage Amendment clearly has something to do with prejudice. And again, the language doesn't say so, but the actions do. The exclusion of men or women because of color has something to do with an attitude by which one is judged superior and another is judged inferior. And even though the language doesn't say that, the actions do. Jesus is saying to his contemporaries, let go. Let those possessions loose. Let them die so that you are free to hear the word within you, the word that calls you into unity with God and into unity with your sister and brothers. For in letting go, there is an integrity that occurs. And that's what Jesus means at the end of that passage. When I will be lifted up from the earth, and he's speaking there of his death, I will draw everything to myself. That in Jesus letting go, in Jesus dying, there is the reconciliation of all creation, of all the world. And in my letting go, there is the reconciliation within my world. The very core, the very heart, the very center, the very thing that it is that identifies us as men and women of faith, disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, is nothing less than the dying and the rising of Jesus, not as a historical event only, but even more importantly, as an ongoing saving event in each of our lives. Every single day, Jesus calls us to allow something to die so that we might live. Every single day, He calls us to let loose a little bit more so that we might be free. In the words of the ancient, He says, "Die now before you die, so that you won't have to die when you die." Week after week, month after month, year after year, we come to this table and we celebrate that very mystery. Suffering, dying, rising, and ascending of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not as an event outside of us, but as an event that continues to live and to move and to be active and to be real in us. As we grow bit by bit by bit by bit by bit in this, and it's not easy, it is the toughest thing in the world. As we grow bit by bit in this, St. Paul says ultimately we are going to be able to say, "I no longer live, but it is Christ who lives within me."